Aren't you glad you're a Christian? I appreciate all of you braving the weather and breaking the ice off your vehicles to get here. It's good to see this crowd. A major part of Christianity is the process of changing from looking like the world to looking like Christ. Now, obviously, that's not talking about fashion and hairstyle and things like that. And we know the passages. Romans 8:29, we are to be conformed to his image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we are to be transformed into his likeness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Philippians 2:5, we are to have the same attitude in ourselves which was in him. 1 Peter 2:21, we are to follow in his steps. 1 John 2:6, we are to walk in the same manner as he walked. And so the people who came up with the "what would Jesus do" bracelets and paraphernalia, well, they had the right idea. The problem is, it doesn't do me any good if I don't know what Jesus would do. And so we need to be looking through the Gospels. We need to see what Jesus did in the different circumstances of life and how we can learn from and imitate him. Well, today I want to talk about, I think, a very important aspect of becoming like Jesus, and that's overcoming temptation. You see, all Christians, regardless of age, gender, ethnicity, education, social status, and sports team, have the inner struggle between doing what the flesh wants to do and doing what God wants us to do. We're constantly bombarded with those little commercials for sin called temptations. See, a temptation, simply put, is a solicitation to sin. It's the bait. But 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." See, it is possible to overcome temptation. Now, are Christians perfect? No. But when we sin, we are to confess it and repent of it. See, every day we're to become more and more like Jesus in the things that we think, say, and do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, "For if we are living according to the flesh, we must die." Spiritually, that is. "But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." As it's been said, we're not sinless, but we progressively sin less. See, I believe Satan is always trying to use our flesh, our fleshly desires, to hinder our spiritual progress. And the thing that we got to realize is that Satan wants us to fail. He wants us to spend eternity with him. And he has been around a long time, and he is really good at what he does. We can see him successfully using all three different areas of temptation in the garden from the very beginning. With Eve. See, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, talked about in 1 John chapter 2. And that is why we have got to be sober of spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So, how are we going to fight these temptations? How are we going to prevail in this battle? Well, the answer must be found in Jesus. And although some would argue that, well, you know, Jesus, he's in a different category, being the Son of God, well, Hebrews chapter 4:15 says that he can sympathize with our weaknesses precisely because he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The only difference in this is that he didn't fall for the commercials. So how did he do it? Well, I suggest that he incorporated the three P's. Well, the first one is passage. During his 40-day fast in the wilderness that we read about in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, well, Jesus received three different temptations from Satan. And with each temptation, we see that Jesus quoted Scripture. And in the end of Matthew's account of this, Jesus told Satan to be gone. So what should we do when we are confronted with a temptation? Quote a scripture and tell Satan to get out of here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. And you notice that Satan left him But of course, until an opportune time, as it says in Luke's account. I heard about a man who was taken to Bible class as a child, and he was that's how he grew up. But when he became an adult, he fell away. And the problem was, he said that every time he went to go do something wrong, one of those memory verses his Bible class teacher had made him memorize was popping to his head, just driving him crazy. Well, he ended up coming back to the Lord. Psalm 119 in verse 11, it says, "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." Now, to treasure is to store up something of value. See, the psalmist is speaking of memorized scripture. Knowing the word will help to keep us from sinning. As the saying goes, what is in the well of your thoughts will come up in the bucket of your actions. You see, you make decisions based on the material in your mind that you can draw from. And the human mind, well, it is impressionable, pliable, moldable. And our behavior will start to reflect what goes into our minds. You see, your input will definitely affect your output. And that's why we must control the avenues into our mind. What we see, what we hear, what we read. If we're just filling our minds with junk, how can we expect to think wholesome thoughts and ultimately make good decisions? If we're throwing a bunch of junk down in our well, how can we expect to pull up fresh, clean water? And that is why daily Bible reading is so important, even if it's short. Man does not live by bread alone. As Wendell Winkler put it, "Show me a backslider, and I will show you a man who no longer loves, reads, studies, believes, obeys, memorizes, and teaches the Bible." And that's why making it to the assembly where the Bible is taught is so important. See, if you just look down a few verses from that temptation in Luke chapter 4, well, you find verse 16. It says of Jesus, "And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath." Now again, if God's people were meeting at 9:30, 10:30, and 5 o'clock on Sunday, and 6:30 on Wednesday, where would Jesus be? You know where he'd be. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul told the church to put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And the last piece is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. "Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." Now you think about it. You'd be tempted to lie and remember Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. You'd be tempted to steal and remember Ephesians 4:28. You'd be tempted to say something nasty and remember Ephesians 4:29. You'd be tempted to commit sexual immorality and remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 and so forth. I mean, do you really want to overcome temptation? Jesus used the scriptures. Passage. All right, let's talk about the next P Jesus used to overcome temptation. That's prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was deeply grieved, it says. And we can see that he was tempted to abort his mission. But we learn that he prayed three times, and he concluded with, "Thy will be done." And we also find his statement to the apostles, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our weak flesh must be shored up with prayer. And it's been suggested that no wonder they scattered and hid from fear. No wonder Peter denied him three times. He prayed and they didn't. So how does prayer help with temptation? I mean, what happens in prayer? Well, the first thing I believe is God's help. In Jesus' model prayer in Matthew 6, he said, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God can steer us away from things that will tempt us. It seems that he can providentially keep us from evil if we ask. After speaking of Jesus being able to sympathize with our weaknesses, since he was tempted as we are, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace," speaking of prayer, "so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The context is temptation. Now, on top of that, prayer keeps our minds on spiritual things, and it brings us back to the reality of who we are, children of God. I mean, can you imagine a Christian lying and praying at the same time, or cheating and praying at the same time, or gossiping and praying at the same time? See, that's why it's been suggested that a dating couple say a prayer together before their date. They're not as likely to fall for the physical temptations after that. Now, just looking through the Gospel of Luke, I found Jesus praying 14 times, actually 15 times, and some of them all night long. Is there any doubt as to how he overcame temptation? In Ephesians 6, after Paul talked about those different aspects of the armor of God in order to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, well, he said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You see, after you get equipped for the battle, you got to keep communication open with headquarters. Now, I assume many of you start or end the day with prayer. Many of you probably pray at mealtimes. But let me suggest that we pray whenever we are hit with a temptation, or whenever we're about to go into a circumstance where we could be hit with a temptation. So do we really want to overcome temptation? Well, Jesus relied on prayer. Now let's talk about the third way that Jesus overcame temptation. Priority. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." You see, Jesus came for one reason. See, accomplishing God's will took priority, and he filtered everything through that grid. Jesus knew why he was here and what he had to do, and he had the resolve and the discipline it took to fight the temptations and to beat the sin. As one of my old mentors liked to say, in order to say no, you've got to have a bigger yes. You see, Jesus, the reason Jesus overcame sin is because he had a bigger yes to God's will. But make no mistake about it, sin is a choice. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptations will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Sin is a choice. Now, do you think you could have the resolve to make it through the next minute without sinning? Of course you could. That's not too difficult, especially considering that we're here in a church building. Well, if you could do that, do you think you could make it through the next 30 minutes without sinning? Well, if you could do that, well, how about through the next hour? Well, if you could make it through the next hour without sinning, well, how about through the rest of the day? Do you think you could do that? And if you could do that, well, how about through tomorrow? Well, of course you could, if you only had the priority and resolve that Jesus had. It was one of those short comedy plays on television, which of course you can also watch on YouTube. And it had this lady going to a psychiatrist played by Bob Newhart. And he said he'd only charge $5 for the session. And so she came in and she'd tell him her problems and what she was struggling with, what she was doing. And then he'd give his advice. Stop it. Each time she would tell him something she had a problem with, he would simply say, stop it. And so if we have a problem with the temptation that we keep falling for, I'm going to tell you what you and I need to do. Stop it. In Matthew 5, 29 through 30, Jesus said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish and for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, that's hyperbole, of course. But what's the point? We've got to just simply do whatever it takes to get rid of the sin and beat the temptations in our lives, even if that means taking drastic measures. See, you may have to take a different route home from work. You may have to even discontinue your TV or internet service. You may have to change the people you hang out with or the places that you like to go. You may even have to change your job or where you live. You see, Jesus, he told the rich young ruler that he had to sell all his possessions and give them to the poor. Why? Because they were coming in between him and God. And so, how bad do we want to be like Jesus and overcome temptation? Now, I think a great motivation to give us that priority is recognizing that when we sin, we're sinning against God, and he always sees us. Jeremiah 23, God asked, "Am I a God who is near and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" Now, I'm sure you've heard the little kid song. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. And of course, it goes through all the different body parts. Eyes, what you see. Ears, what you hear. Mouth, what you say. Feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Before stealing some chickens, the father looked before him, behind him, and to each side of him. Whereupon his little boy said, "Daddy, you have forgotten to look in one direction. Up." Now, I find this to be a great motivation for not falling for those temptations. I just need to remember it more. And so do you. We've got to quit playing Christian and truly crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. Look, we either believe it or we don't. It's either real or it's not. This is either the word of God or it isn't. Jesus had the priority. Do we? Jesus was tempted in all ways, all things as we are, yet without sin. Now, I've heard it said that maybe his temptations were even greater than ours. Because you see, he had the ability to be the biggest superstar, to have as much money as he wanted, to have any woman he desired, and so forth. So how is it that he overcame every temptation? Well, I suggest it's because he incorporated the three P's: passage, prayer, priority. Temptation is always going to be with us while we're in the flesh. I mean, there's no way to get around that. And of course, temptation, these sinful desires, they come to us in different ways and in different degrees of strength. But if we follow Jesus, if we incorporate the three P's, I believe we will be able to beat them. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. There is always a road out. Take it. So when people look at you and me, do they see Jesus? Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If there are any spiritual needs this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to come forward. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to be baptized into Christ, if there's anything you need to make right or make known, come forward now as we stand and sing, and one of our elders will sit down with you.